Like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 36. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 36. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 36 reads this way. It says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people, then Lord, also being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget that your presence is here with us. And so, Lord, we call upon you to open up our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that you would meet each and every one of our needs, especially concerning our relationship with you. And Lord, your will for our lives, may we understand that to a greater extent, in a greater way, even this morning. And then Lord, if there's one in our midst or more than one that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to their hearts and allow them to see their need and to trust you even today. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Go and Do Thou Likewise. That's good advice, isn't it? Especially when it comes to obeying the Word of God and knowing the truth. It's important that we are doers of the Word, not just hearers only. And here this morning, as we consider our text, I think we'll see some new things, even though we may be familiar with this portion of Scripture. But, you know, there are obstacles. There are people that profess to have a relationship with the Lord and yet don't know Him. And those of us who have a relationship with the Lord, it's important that we have what the Lord would call a teachable spirit. Amen? That we don't come to the place where we feel like we have arrived and we have all the answers. Because the truth is, in comparison to everything there is to know about the Lord, and by the way, also concerning everything that there is to know, let's refine that a little bit. Everything there is to know about the Word of God, how much really do we know? And I'm not talking about the stories of the Word of God. I'm talking about the scriptural truths that are in the Word of God. We can know the Word of God, but how familiar are we with doing and allowing the Word of God to work out in our lives to where the Lord is glorified, our lives are changed, and there's the light of the Lord that goes out into the world. That's where the light of the world is seen in the life of the believer. As we yield ourselves to the will and to the way of the Lord, we can walk in His way, and He is glorified, and He builds His church. And that is a personal relationship. Nobody can do that for you but you. Amen? Nobody can do it for me but me. And God has a specific course for each and every one of us to run, and it's according to His Word. It will never contradict His Word. So that is a good way to know whether we're on track or not, that we are in fellowship and in sync with the Lord's direction. So this morning, we're going to look at two thoughts here this morning. The first one is the lawyer's desire to try Christ and not to trust Christ for instruction. That was his approach to the Lord. There are some people that approach the Lord with this idea of, I don't believe Him. I don't think He's going to teach me anything. Can anybody learn anything like that? But yet, here's the wonderful truth. God knew this about this lawyer. He knew the heart of this lawyer, and yet He showed mercy and grace to work with him. He could have said, "Hey, listen, I know where you're coming from. You're just trying to trap me. You don't really care to hear the truth, so I'm done with you." But the Lord doesn't do that. He reaches around him and embraces him with an illustration and a word from him that he might also take hold of the love and the grace of God that he wants everybody to know. Listen, one thing we know is God's not willing that any should perish. That would be the person that's offended you the greatest, and that would be the one that you love the most. God loves each and every one of us to that extent. Isn't that amazing that He loves us like that? Secondly, the Lord's mercy and grace given to this lawyer. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 25. And we find this lawyer's posture, his position, how he was standing. And that was one, of course, of pride. So let's look at this here as we look at verse 25. He says, "And behold, a certain lawyer," here's his posture, ready, what did he do? He stood up. He had something to say. And he thought he was right. And he thought he was going to trick the Lord or trap the Lord. And yet, listen, you can't do that with the Lord. But if you're open-minded, you will hear the love and the truth that God wants us to receive. And so he had this idea. Notice what it says. He stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's an interesting question. It's on the wrong principles there, because there's nothing you and I can do for eternal life, but there is something that God has done for us, and that is that he became the perfect sacrifice, and talked about it all the way from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, that it would be through the seed of a woman. In other words, the Lord would be born from a virgin birth, and he would be the sinless Son of God that would be the Redeemer, the atonement, the blood sacrifice for all of our sins. And so here we find, by the way, this has been illustrated throughout the Old Testament more than once, and this lawyer who is one who knew the word and the law of God should have known better, but what happened was his pride hardened his heart and caused him to miss out on what God was trying to communicate to him well before he ever confronted the Lord. And that's why he was really confronting God, wasn't he? He was really, his opposition was not towards anybody else, but to the Lord. And so he says here, he tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice what the Lord does. He knows where he's coming from. So he asks him a question. He said unto him, "What is written in the law?" That's a good question. In other words, the answer has been in your hand the whole time. You're asking me a question that you ought to know. You're the lawyer, so I'm going to ask you. He thought he was going to catechize the Lord, right? He's going to drill him. He was going to quiz him on biblical truths. And the Lord turns that right around on him and says, "Well, you're a lawyer here, so let's get down to it. What is written in the law? How readest thou?" That's such an important question. How do we read the Word of God? Listen, if we read the Word of God with a certain idea or thought, we may not be pliable to hear what God is saying. If we've already made up our mind, if we've come to this place to where we think we know it all, don't confuse me with the facts, I've already made up my mind, our hearts have become hardened, and we will miss out on all the new truths. Listen, there is so much truth in this passage of Scripture. Can you possibly exhaust the truths that are found in the Scriptures? You cannot. They're inexhaustible. They are eternal. It is the is the Word of God the eternal Word of God? So it has no end. Amen? It was always, and by the way, listen, just as God is infinite, so is his word, and we'll understand that really. The more we study it, the more truths we will discover and find out more about our God and our Savior. So here we find the lawyer's posture, and of course, he was more, he didn't want to discourse with the Lord, he wanted to dispute with the Lord, didn't he? And by the way, but he didn't know he was talking to the great physician who knows how to reveal the problem of the heart by his grace and mercy. Isn't that good? God opens up our hearts and our understanding with his grace and mercy. You know, when I came to the place to where I was convicted about my sin, I saw myself lost and undone, but at the very same moment, I also saw where I needed to go, and I wanted to go to the one who died for me and loved me to give me his life and eternal life. Isn't that amazing? So the Lord doesn't just reveal our sin and how undone we are and just leave us like that. He gives us hope. Isn't that amazing? God gives us hope, and he wants us to walk and grow in that hope. And by the way, let me ask you this question. Does the Lord Jesus Christ, is he wanting to give this lawyer hope also? Absolutely. Isn't that amazing? Even though he is in opposition to him, God is wanting him also. Listen, does the Lord love this lawyer? Yes. Isn't that amazing that God loved this lawyer as much as he loves you and I? Isn't that amazing? And so he says to him, how do you read here? And so the Lord, again, is wanting him to think about what he's asking. Verse 27, and he answered, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, this man is quoting Scripture, isn't he? And that's what he was supposed to do. He's asked him, "Hey, how do you read the Word of God? How do you understand this?" And he said unto him, verse 28, the Lord answers, "Thou hast answered right." You gave the right answer. I don't know that he expected that from the Lord. You gave the right answer. Then he says this do, and thou shalt live. Now, he could have said, oh, Lord, I've been doing this since, remember the other rich ruler, I've been doing this since I was a young person, right? But he's not been doing that. He's challenging the Lord, and he has a different question. In verse 29, we find here, but he willing to justify who? Himself, right? This lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And it's with arrogance, it's with pride, and he thought he cornered the Lord. He thought he got him in a place that he was not able to get himself out of. And you can't do that with the Lord, amen? The Lord knows everything from the very beginning. In fact, before the beginning, God knows everything. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, does God know what is best for us? And is he faithful to give us best? His best? And by the way, let me ask you this. Is it still the Lord's best even when it doesn't make sense to us or we don't like it? Did the Apostle Paul like the thorn in the flesh, or did he ask the Lord more than once to remove it? Three times, right? And then he told him, he says, in your weakness is where my grace is seen strong, where your strength is going to come from. And so Paul had to learn in whatsoever state he was in therewith to be what? Content and to trust the Lord. And that is something that is learned. Listen, not a single one of us like trials. Do you? I don't like them. But can we trust the Lord in the midst of those trials? And can we trust him that he's working out all things for our good? We all face those things. And why does he try us? To strengthen our faith or our trust in him. Intertwine those two words. Faith and trust are the same. Is God worthy of our trust? And he wants to prove that in our everyday lives, that even when something happens in our life that we don't think is right, it is still ordained of the Lord for our good and the glory of the Lord. How are we going to respond? By the way, Is the life of a believer not a spiritual warfare? Is it not a spiritual warfare? Doesn't God talk about in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God? But above all, he says, don't forget the shield of faith. That's what protects you. That's the most important thing. That's like if you're going on a hunting trip. Listen, we're going to go hunting out in Colorado. We're going to go, what do you hunt in Colorado? Elk? We're going to hunt some elk in Colorado, and it's going to be a little on the cold side, and you're going to need a tent. You want a sleeping bag, don't you? You're going to want something to cook with. You're going to want to take your Bible, right? Amen. You're going to want to take a whole bunch of things. But above all things, if you're going on a hunting trip to Colorado to hunt elk, what is the one thing you want to make sure you don't forget? Your rifle. My goodness, what would you do if you got all the way out? You just have a good camping trip. No, not even a good camping trip, because everybody else would be talking about what they got and what you didn't get. Amen? So listen, above all things, the most important thing is the shield of faith or trust in our God. That is the most important thing. Do we only trust the Lord when the sun is shining, or is he worthy for you and I to trust him even when it's raining in our lives, even when the storm, even when the winds are blowing, and even when the waves are boisterous, and it appears like we're going under, and it appears like the Lord has fallen asleep and doesn't care about us? He still cares, doesn't he? And he's wanting us to trust in him no matter what. So listen, evaluate and think about what we do and what we say. The Spirit of God walks by trust, by faith, right? Working, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lead us to trust him. Is he going to lead us to trust him only when the sun is shining, or at all times? At all times. And so does that mean that we start to contemplate, well, the Lord could have done this, and he should have done it this way, and he should have done it that way? Is that faith? Or is it God does all things how? Well. God does all things well. You mean to tell me even when God doesn't make sense to me, God does all things well? Absolutely. It ought to be that way. Is he not worthy even when God doesn't make sense to me? Does a child of God always have to say to the Father, I don't know, you have to explain that to me. I don't know if I can trust you in that. You have to explain that to me. If your children do that to you, they don't have a lot of faith in you, do they? Especially, and by the way, how did they make it? How did they ever make it past 10 years old? Can you imagine that they made it past 10 years old? That's because you probably cared about your children and you looked out after them and you fed them and you gave them what they needed. How much more can you and I trust our Heavenly Father? Isn't that something? And by the way, God wants us to trust Him and not always question Him when things arise. Just, Lord, I trust You. I think Job did that, don't you? Job did that. He did. Listen, his wife said, and I'm not being hard on I understand the wife. I understand. Listen, we all wrestle with those things. And by the way, even today, if you and I are confronted with a trial or sometime this week, we have to grapple, we have to wrestle with the idea of who we're going to trust, don't we? Okay, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm seeing, but praise the Lord loves me. And He is in control, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to walk this day trusting Him and not going, woe is me. Not singing the song. I don't know who sung it. I hope it's not a bad person. But anyway, nobody knows. How's that go? The trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Obviously, they didn't know the Lord, did they? And so God doesn't want us to look to ourselves because that's the way we will walk. Listen, if we are looking at the Lord truly, then we know that all things work together for what? And they're good. Then they're good if we trust the Lord. And so here's the Lord, and He's talking to this lawyer, and He said He wants to know who his neighbor is. Now, the Lord says something here in the last portion of our text here, and this is the Lord's mercy and grace given to the lawyer, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Listen, if he doesn't get help, he's going to die. That's how bad he is. Now listen, some theologians from the 1600s and earlier, they say that this possibly is not just a parable, it is possibly an account of something that had taken place that they were aware of because he mentions specific places like Jericho and Jerusalem. And it was the hap of the priests and the religious ranks to live in Jericho and walk to Jerusalem, by the way, which is approximately about 17 miles, just so you get an idea of how long that walk is. 17 miles is a long way to walk, isn't it? 3 miles is a long way to walk. 5 miles is a long way to walk. 10 miles is getting even longer, right? Man, I'll never forget it. When I was 11 years old, I was in the Boy Scouts. I think it was Thomas Park out in the Everglades. We started out to do a 20-mile hike. At 11 years old, if the master, how do you call them? The leader, anyway. Yeah. Who? Scout master, whoever he was, I can't even remember. I can see their faces. Come on, we're going to go do this. Yeah, let's go do it. I was all for it. And then all of a sudden, I found out we got 13 miles. I was done. Forget the 20. Everybody was done. Out there in the Florida, in the Everglades. Can you imagine that? And we were walking on levees, and we were going down and up and down these levees. And after 13 miles, I said, I'm good. If you guys want to quit, I wanted to quit about 5 miles ago, but I didn't know which way to go, or I'd have left them, right? But here it is. Here it is. Listen, God is guiding us in a place that we can trust Him in. Amen? And He will never lead us to our demise. Although, listen, He will lead us to die to self. But listen, alive in the Spirit. And Paul had to die to self, did he not? And by the way, do we not all have to die to self if the Spirit of Christ is going to come forth and live out? And by the way, this lawyer also had to die to self. And listen, self is a hard nut to crack. And that's what we are, really. We're just a bunch of nuts if we're without the Lord. We need to let Him crack us that we might be able to walk in His way. So watch what's happening here. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Can you get a load of that? Listen. He saw somebody half dead and went the others on the other side. Like, that's really going to... He saw him. And then he said, my goodness. I'm going to stay away from that man, by the way, who was a fellow Jew. And here's something that you have to understand. And there was a corrupt notion by the Jewish teachers of the day that said that, listen, if they're a Gentile, you don't have to do anything for them. They're not in the covenant of the Lord. That's not a biblical teaching, by the way. That's not God's word. But they came up with this idea. They added this idea that, hey, listen, that's why they didn't like the Samaritans, who were half Jew. And they didn't like them so much, they would not walk through Samaria. They'd go around it. Isn't that crazy? How can you hate people you don't even know? And yet, listen, our nature can be given to that. And so here's the Lord working with this lawyer, and he's telling, look what this priest is doing, and he's walking around the other way. By the way, and it was a fellow Jew that was in this peril and in this trouble. Verse 32 says this, the Lord says, and likewise a Levite, one who ought to be compassionate above all people, when he was at the place, listen to this, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. Do you get that? That means if this man was beaten dead right here, half dead, that priest went over and looked him over. He looked at him. He saw all the details. Now the Levite was on the other side. But this individual here, the priest went on the other side. The Levite, he went over and looked on him and passed by on the other side. He looked on him and then he went across the street on the other side. Isn't that amazing? And then the Lord says this, but a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him, he had compassion on him. Amen. You know, listen, there was another individual, in fact, all of us, who were beaten by the enemy, half dead in our trespasses and sin. Oh, we had a life, but we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And there was not a Samaritan, but praise God, there was a Savior that came to our rescue. And he didn't pour, we'll see here in just a moment, he didn't pour out wine, he poured out his blood and prepared us a home, not just an inn, and is preparing us a place, is he not? And he's going to come back again and receive us unto himself. Isn't that good? Amen. Listen, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice here in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. The wine would be, because of the alcohol, would maybe cause a disinfection, and the oil would soothe the wound and bring healing. And so here he is trying to. And notice what he does. He poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Question, do you think the Samaritans knew how the Jewish people felt about them? What motivated this Samaritan? Love. The love of God. The love of God. Four letters. The love. Love. But the love specifically of God. That he would have compassion on him. Why did the Lord save you and I? Because of his love. For God so loved the world. And so, here's the Lord telling this lawyer this story. And so notice what he does in verse 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn. And notice, then he took care of him. More. He took more care of him, didn't he? He saw to it. Listen, is the Lord taking care of you and I? Are we always in his hands? Isn't that great? Isn't that a comfort? We are always in the hand of God. May we, you and I, walk that way and enjoy that relationship that God is wanting to have with us. So, as he takes care of him, notice what happens here in verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence... and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Amen. Who's footing the bill? Who paid the price for you and I? The Lord paid the complete price, didn't he? Nothing to his charge. He couldn't help himself. Did he have anything? He was robbed. He's half dead, and he can't do anything for himself. And listen, I would dare say that if he was half dead, maybe at the beginning, he may have been unconscious. And this Samaritan was working while this Jew didn't even know what was going on. And by the way, the Lord is working on our behalf in the background as well, and has been working in the background since we were born. In fact, before we were born, the Lord has been working for our salvation, has he not? Isn't that amazing? What a great God we serve. And so here is the Lord. He's talking to this lawyer. How do you think this lawyer is feeling about now? Do you think he feels like he's justifying himself? Do you think he feels like he's cornered the Lord? See, listen, we can't come to the Lord if we think we have all the answers. If we think that God can't show us anything, we won't grow in the grace of the Lord. If we have this idea, well, I believe this and I believe that. Hey, how about what God is wanting to say to us? Are we open for more revelation of our relationship that God has and wants to have and build in our lives? And so, what does he do? He tells him about this Samaritan. He says, I'll repay you when I come back. That means he's going to be gone for a little while. And he says, I'll take care of the bill. And he had a good relationship, no doubt, to be able to say that, and this man trust him. I would dare say he probably tried to pay everything he thought that man would spend. But if there happens to be a greater cost, I'll pay it to you. I think this will cover it, but if not, I'll pay it. God covered the complete cost of our salvation. And here it is, he's talking with him, and notice what happens. He says to him now in verse 36, which now? How about now? I mean, you had some thoughts before, but how about now? You had some ideas about who I was, but how about now? You thought you would corner me, you thought you would trap, but how about now? You had some ideas about who I was, but how about now? Now that you've heard what I've had to say, what are you going to do with me now? How are you going to answer my questions to you now? Because that's the bottom line. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day before the Lord God Almighty, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he says to him, he says, which now, verse 36, of these three thinkest thou, what do you think, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Listen, you can't corner the Lord. And there are people that have some ideas, don't they, about the Lord? There are people today in our nation. And I say our nation because this was founded as a Christian nation. It has Judeo and Christian values because it was built upon the Old and the New Testament. The pilgrims came seeking freedom, didn't they? To worship the Lord. Not freedom just from tyranny or from oppression, but freedom to worship the Lord according to His guidance. And so there are people that have some ideas in this nation of ours about who Jesus Christ is, and they're not kind thoughts. And they're thinking they hold the upper hand, and they're thinking they know what they're talking about, and they're thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ is an oppressor and is an unkind individual, and is just duping people and chaining up people. Seems like I've heard that lie before. Seems like the devil was the one that was trying to fool Adam and Eve and saying, hey, he's just trying to keep you from having a good time. No, he's trying to keep us from killing ourselves. And look at all the things that people have allowed in our nation under the guise of love and freedom. Love is not love if it's debauchery and against the word of God. It's a sin. It is a licentious lifestyle if it's not done according to the word of God. There's no way to justify that. And when God says, and it's God who says, that marriage is between a man and a woman, there's a reason for that. And when the society begins to say, well, you can just tell these little people that they're something different than what they are, and then we wonder why suicide and all these murders and all this craziness is going on in our society. You cannot go against the word of God. You cannot sow sin and not reap a harvest. And so that's what's going on in our day and age today. You can't fool with the Lord. And yes, you and I can suffer for it physically, possibly on this side of eternity, but I would rather have the world mad at me than disappoint my God. Amen. I would rather stand on the truth of the Word of God in the hopes that people would hear the truth and the Holy Spirit work with the Word of God and convict people that they would change their directions and trust the truth. And receive the same gift that you and I have been given through the Lord Jesus Christ concerning eternal life, and then truly be set free. That's where it's really all about, isn't it?
Right.
But where will that ever take place unless you and I are walking by faith or trust every day?
Amen.
Because God wants to use us all the time. And if we're not focused on completely walking with the Lord in every area of our life, the people aren't going to see the light of God in our lives. And so notice this again. We'll put these two verses together. Verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Listen to this. He could not even say the Samaritan. The Lord named him by the Samaritan. Notice, and he said he that showed mercy on him. Now, he said it was a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. He named them. But he couldn't say Samaritan. But at least, praise the Lord, he at least acknowledged the right one. And so, in his acknowledgement, you know what he was saying? I'm agreeing with you. This lawyer, I believe, was humbled by the grace of God to see what God was saying. See, before he thought the Lord couldn't tell him who the neighbor was. Who is my neighbor? He's willing to justify himself. That's what the Bible says. So the Lord told him. See, God does not write anything in his word that he does not want us to understand. And if we truly seek the word of God through the Lord, we'll find the truth that he's wanting to reveal to us. And so he said, verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him, notice, then said Jesus unto him, he didn't say you don't have a chance. He said, go and do thou likewise.
Amen.
Now, he's got to do something with that. He has to do something with that. He has to yield to the Lord and receive what God has said or reject it and said, there's no way I can do that. And there was such a hatred that some of the Jews would say, I wouldn't want a Samaritan to touch me. That some of them would say, let me die. Mm-hmm. There are people today that don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to touch them. They would rather die without him. And you know why they do that? Ignorance. And a heart full of hate. Ignorance. And God says, I'm not willing that they should perish. I'm not willing that they should die. In fact, what I want is to send us out. God wants to send you and I out into the world. How often? Every day. To be his light and to shine his love. And listen, it's not all the time in a track. We ought to be handing out tracks. You can leave a track somewhere. Can you not? You can leave a track. There are all kinds of places you can leave a track. May it be said of us that everywhere we go, we leave a track. If we're going out to eat and we give a nice tip, put a track in there. The word of the Lord. And that's the bonus on top of by the way, the most important thing is the word of God and eternal life. But everybody, listen, they're working for a living. We want to compensate that and take care of them. But even more important, many times if I go to a restaurant, I'll say to the waiter or to the waitress, even more important, sometimes I'll find them and I'll give them the tip with the track in it. I'll say, now listen, this is for you, but even more important is God's gift of eternal life for you. I'll be glad to say that to them. because somebody cared enough to tell me. And we ought to care enough because the Lord cared for us. Amen. And made sure we found out. Aren't you glad? So he says to this lawyer, go and do thou likewise. Do you think he'd say that to his people too? Go and do thou likewise. Give of yourself that Christ might be highly exalted and lifted up and that souls would be saved. And we in turn would be saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. Amen. And giving me the truth and allowing me to know you as my Savior. So this morning, God says, I am still working with each and every one of my children. Amen? And he wants to walk with us and show us the truth that we might have the boldness by the power of God to help others see the light. Amen? Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and grace and your goodness to each and every one of us. And Lord, how you always are faithful to hold us. You never let us go. We are always in your hands. Lord, may you bless and open up our hearts and minds to walk with you and to draw nearer unto you and to call upon you, Lord, to show us your way. Bless the invitation, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.